Let's read together Acts chapter 27. In this chapter, we have Paul's voyage to Rome, including the shipwreck. Let's begin by reading the first 20 verses, Acts chapter 27, beginning at verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Adramidium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lighted the ship. On the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Acts 27, with some background notes. Acts chapter 27 is one of the more exciting and dramatic chapters of the Bible. For the average Christian, Acts chapter 27 is a lot more interesting to read than a chapter in Leviticus, for example. In Acts chapter 27, we learn a lot about ancient sailing, such as undergirding cables in verse 17. We also learn a lot about the early navigational routes of the Mediterranean Sea. We learn from verse 6 that the ship going to Rome was from Alexandria, Egypt. And we learn from verse 38 that it was a grain ship. Egypt was the breadbasket of Rome. The grain ships from Egypt would sail north across the Mediterranean Sea and then sail west along the more protected shores, as we see in verses 4 through 13. However, in this case, they were blown off course by a sudden and violent and prolonged storm wind from the northeast. Fearing that they would be blown into the treacherous shallows off the coast of Africa, they dropped a sea anchor and let the ship be blown along at the mercy of the storm. The ship's boat, or skiff in verse 16, was the dinghy. That is the small boat that is dragged along behind the main vessel for ship-to-shore excursions. In this case, the dinghy was filling up with water, and they were finally able to get it hauled up and fastened on board. Many Christians have interpreted Acts chapter 27 not only as the inspired historical record of the ship voyage, but also as an allegory of the Christian life, or as an allegory of church history. As an allegory of the Christian life, the storm represents the storms of the Christian life and the danger of shipwreck if you don't follow the word of the Lord. As an allegory of the history of the Christian church, the storm represents the false teaching that confronted the early church, and the shipwreck represents what became of the church as false teaching brought heresy into the church. Even aside from any allegorical interpretation of Acts chapter 27, there are many biblical principles that emerge from a study of this chapter of Scripture. And that brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for Acts chapter 27. Doctrinal teaching point number one, unbelievers are not blessed when they follow the wisdom of this world. Unbelievers are not blessed when they follow the wisdom of this world. It's obvious from these verses that we just read that the reason the whole voyage was in trouble from the beginning was that they did not listen to the Apostle Paul, who had the mind of God. Verse 10. Now already Paul had established a good reputation with the centurion Julius. How do we know that? Well, Luke and Aristarchus were permitted to come along as Paul's servants. That was some grace on the part of Julius, right? Furthermore, Paul as a prisoner was allowed to go ashore in Sidon to meet with believers there. And the centurion allowed Paul to express his opinion concerning the voyage here. But now when it came to making a decision, we see in verse 11 that the wisdom of this world was followed rather than the godly counsel of Paul. And as a result, bad fallout followed. The same is true today when people follow the wisdom of this world rather than the principles of God's word and the godly counsel of believers. Think of marriages today, for example, that could be saved from shipwreck if godly counsel was sought out and followed. How many businesses would be preserved from financial disaster if biblical principles of doing work and business were followed? The wisdom of this world may appear reasonable and even look good at first, but because it does not take God and His Word into account, it cannot result in blessing. Unbelievers are not blessed when they follow the wisdom of this world. Doctrinal point number two. Unbelievers are blessed when they follow the counsel of godly believers. Unbelievers are blessed when they follow the counsel of godly believers. Verses 21 through 44. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me, and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.' Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough and lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea, when it was day, they did not recognize the land. But they observed a bay with a beach, onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes. And they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Not a soul was lost. The lives of all of these unbelievers were saved because of the Apostle Paul and his godly counsel. You know, I would like to think that as a result of these events, the centurion and others were saved, but we don't know for sure. However, we do know that even unbelievers can receive a measure of blessing in their lives if they follow the counsel of godly believers. Think of how Pharaoh and Egypt were blessed when they followed the godly counsel of Joseph. Think of how our own nation has been blessed because it was founded on biblical principles. Let's pray that our country would listen to the counsel of godly believers and return to these biblical principles. Notice how Paul gained credibility because of the storm. Before the storm, they did not listen to his godly counsel, but now they believed him, even his testimony about the angel who spoke with him. And the centurion followed Paul's advice even to cutting away the dinghy so that the sailors could not escape. Notice how in verses 34 through 37, Paul encourages them to eat bread after he had given thanks to the Lord. And all 276 persons on board followed his godly counsel. We see in verses 42 and 43 that for the sake of Paul and his godly counsel and advice, the centurion preserved the lives of all the prisoners. As mentioned before, maybe some of the soldiers and sailors and prisoners became believers. Unbelievers are blessed when they follow the counsel of godly believers. Practical application from Acts chapter 27. Watch out for favorable soft winds. Watch out for favorable soft winds. Look back at verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. The counsel of Paul, who had the mind of God, was to not continue the ship voyage until spring, and to spend the winter right where they were. This was also common sense, since it was risky to sail at this time of year. But a favorable wind blew softly, and the consensus of opinion was to go for it. Why not? We can get to a better harbor if we chance it and sail ahead. But it was a mistake. They turned a deaf ear to common sense and godly counsel, and they reaped the consequences of shipwreck. Now, do you see the lesson? Watch out for favorable soft winds when making decisions. Why not marry this unbeliever? He is such a nice guy, and it looks favorable that he will become a Christian later, so why not marry him now? Why not change jobs? The offer looks good. Why not sell our house and move? The wind is blowing softly. Why not make this investment? The winds seem favorable. Have you really checked these things out and prayed about them? Our point is not that all job changes and moves and investments are wrong. No. But do you have the mind of God on these decisions? God promises to guide us. Wait on Him. Watch out for favorable soft winds.